irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 12th. Kelsey is out today, but I'm joined by the beautiful Leah Pelka back on the show. Hi, Leah.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Welcome back. Leah likes to talk, and she's out of the gate running, so I'm going to let her talk the whole show. I'm probably going to take a nap.
Because that's a great idea. I think this is a well-contrived plan by you. You're
right?
Like, Kelsey, don't come in tomorrow. I'm a little tired from the weekend. Let Leah come over. She'll just
exactly.
Talk
that was
time.
My first. The first thing that came to mind is, yeah. Why would I just cancel the show? I'll have Leah come in. She can talk. I'll sleep and snooze while you're here.
There it is.
So, welcome back, Leah. For those of you who haven't heard before, Leah was on the show a couple times already, and we always have a lot of fun, and I think you'll discover she's an amazing woman.
Thank
and
you.
Beautiful as well. In fact, Casey and I were... we're talking about your beauty this morning and how great it is to see it in the morning.
Wow, thank you. Like, that's so
kind. Yeah, he said it's the first thing to see in the morning. I said, absolutely.
Oh, my. You know? I wonder
it's all by design.
I wonder if Ben would agree. It's probably like, not so much. Really, when you see it in the morning, you're like, ugh, there it is again.
Yeah, well, you put on your best face when you leave the house,
thank
right?
You.
No, but I tend to concur, you know, and so you're very beautiful.
Thanks, Sammy.
And you also do modeling and stuff, which you should be. So that's pretty cool. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about that? Or,
well, you know, actually, yeah. I do the show here with Jared called Modern Mail. Mm-hmm. And I also do some fine art modeling. And that's something that I've really gotten to love. I used to do Maxa modeling, and then it progressed. So I had children, my body changed, and I embraced it and ended up embracing me back. So it was
wow.
a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You see, you never give up, folks. You never give up.
No, so take the stretch marks and just make them work for you.
Really? Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
absolutely.
You see, I'm getting a lesson now when I get mine, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm here for you, girl. Don't worry. Sam, you're quite the charming stud yourself.
Thank you very much. That's an inside joke, folks.
It is, but it's true. It's true. For the ladies out there, Sam is a charming stud. Self-proclaimed as well.
Did I say I was a charming stud? Were those the words I look for?
Can I give like the brief snippet? It was really cute. We were texting back and forth, and Sam had some attention from a female, and he jokingly looks over and he's like, "What a charming stud I am!" And it just has made me laugh over and over again because it was just so innocent and honest and fun, and that's very
well.
Much
thank
you.
I appreciate that. I didn't think of it that way, but there you go. You know, so. Yeah,
when you ask me, are you making fun of me? I'll kick your ass. Not at all. Not at all. I was laughing with you, Sam.
Right.
It was
right.
The best, though. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my
yeah,
life.
Yeah, well, you're funny, and that's cool. You know, you kill me sometimes with your humor, and that's good, you know.
Oh, we have a great friendship. It's nice.
So you're originally from Alabama, right?
Hey,
Alabama. And when did you move out here?
I moved out here about 3 years ago.
Yeah, and you like it?
I love it. You know, raising my children in a different environment is definitely paramount to me. Not raising them in the same...
And you feel they're happy here and stuff?
I feel like they don't know the difference yet, but they will appreciate it when they go home later. They'll be like, thanks for not raising me in Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, you're welcome.
Yeah,
because
right.
I was raised there. And then it's not that it's a bad place. Alabama's always been my home. I love the state, but it's in a state of duress, let's just say.
Like,
it's got its
very
own problems,
intense.
And they're So I'm glad that they're here and more able to do what they want to do. That was really the reason I moved out here.
Wow, that's cool. And you got nice weather in return.
It didn't hurt.
Yeah, so you see, your investment paid off. You know?
It did.
There you go.
The whole time. It was great.
Yeah. So, this is cool. So, I don't know why I'm sounding so loud. Oh, I see why. Somebody brought all these things up.
It's just your nature.
Yeah, in a couple of minutes, we're going to bring in our guest. We have a special guest in the studio whom I met on Facebook. So that's cool. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And there's stuff happening in the news, but we don't really care about that, do we, Leah?
I mean, mean, you know, the thing is it's like, let me just put you like this. In case you're wondering what's happening in the news, it's the same shit a different day.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? You know?
Like, the world is still effed up and it's just crazy, but it's cool. Yes. I mean, there's also some really cool news I saw this morning of a turtle that was swimming in the ocean and had some kelp attached to it, and a diver jumped in and cut off the kelp and freed him. And so, like, those cool stories mixed in really save the news. Yeah, they save the news, but everything else is just tush.
Yeah, I know. The news is always bad, you know. I mean, you never see them coming on TV and saying, oh, today nothing happened, you know.
Have
it was
ever
all good things.
Have you seen a segment, a news segment that has been true to you? You either knew the people or you were the people, and you watch how much of it's erroneous?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Really? Erroneous?
Oh, yeah. You and I talked about the fact that I used to work in a mortuary. And
right.
So, like, the case details would be very new and fresh to me, and I would have been walked up on it and seen it.
Right.
And they're reporting that, you know, this person was walking to church with a Bible in their hand, and really, they were shooting at a police officer or whatever else.
Really?
I mean, not that is the exact same situation, but
right.
A lot of times, they'll misrepresent what it is. So I kind of quit watching it anyway, just because...
That's
it
true, huh? Yeah, because,
you know,
they all try to get the,
whatever.
They try to get the news first, you know, like the scoop and
right.
stuff.
And then they'll talk to the family. Of course,
right.
The family likes them. I mean, on either side of whatever happens, I mean, of course, the family's going to say that they were amazing as a
right.
person. And who knows?
Yeah, I know.
Knows,
I know. Well, what are you going to do? You know,
right?
Yeah,
not watch it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. Just not watch it and pray for the best every day.
Yeah, there you go. And so, Leah, if people want to follow you on social networks, where can they find you?
At Leah Pelka, LEAHPELKA on Instagram, or Twitter at Leah Pelka, and some other things are coming up as well, but you can find me there for sure.
There you go. And be prepared to be stunned.
Oh, hello.
Beautiful pictures there.
Thank you.
But you don't post picture of your kids though, right?
I don't believe that there's a place for children in social media right now.
I agree with you 100%.
Well, I'm open and I do nude modeling, so if
right.
I'm gonna put a picture of me that's nude next to my children, not that I'm not proud, I just don't want those kind of that mindset right there looking at my daughter.
Right, yeah.
I have two little girls.
But you're not nude in any of the pictures. That's what I'm saying.
I'm fully nude in all of them. They're all suggestive nudes, though.
Right. I mean, you don't see anything. You know, that's what I'm trying to say to people.
Are you complaining?
Not like, complaining? No, I'm trying to clarify it for people. It's not like I have a porn star in here, folks.
Not at all.
You know?
Not at all.
Yeah. No. So. Good. No. Congratulations on that. I mean, it is empowering to women. I think. You know,
I think it's one of those things where it's like Ashley Graham, who's also taken over Sports Illustrated, has, you know, she's now someone who is considered a larger woman by standards of the industry, not by anyone else, but she's healthy and she looks great.
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of becoming more prevalent. And I like being a part of that movement and knowing
right.
that my daughters will know one day, embrace yourself, be comfortable, be sexy, but don't be slutty.
Right.
That's what I want to teach women.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks.
Yeah, but but why is it that some women tell you, like, I've always dreamed of being in Playboy since I was a girl? I mean, what's that about?
How do they know
right?
about it then is my
yeah,
question.
I know.
Like, what were you
I
reading
know,
as
but
a child? I was reading Dr. Seuss.
That's a good question, you know.
Yeah.
But my question is, what kind of a dream is that, you know?
I don't know.
I think they want, like, affirmation of their beauty or something. I don't know what it is.
I feel
is,
like it was
know.
The platform before Kardashians. It was really the way to jumpstart your career was being in Playboy long before the Kardashians utilized publicists and kind of
right.
released sex tapes like Paris Hilton. That was all by design.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the same thing. It was that platform to use your body in a way that makes men pay attention to you. Then your name starts to be a buzz and then eventually...
That's true, and it has happened.
Because
yeah.
I don't see it being the case so much anymore as
right.
Playboy being a thing.
Right.
Is that...
No, it's not a thing anymore, but now they don't have nude pictures in there anymore. They stopped because they figured that nobody wants it, really. You know, there's so much stuff like that on the internet.
It's so prevalent and so free. It's such a big part of our society these days. It's really upsetting to see because I do have two young girls, and it's sad to see... you know, like, I guess the thing is people have asked me about the Kim Kardashian picture. The one thing that's really been the most disturbing for me was that she did it for no reason, and she put bars up, and she was just trying to get women who want to do it for art or for, you know, modeling or whatever else. It's totally different. Don't use your body to get somewhere, but be someone who, if you want to, you utilize it in the right way.
Right.
It's just upsetting to see people who are going around doing whatever they want to do, just flagrantly throwing themselves out there. And then and then it puts us in a place where we're losing women who are trying to be legit. And
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody is just a little stick, you know. I mean, some people are just the normal people, you
right,
know, normal
right.
bodies and everything. Yeah.
Right.
I totally agree. But I I also say that people should try and take care of themselves as much as possible rather than sit back and just complain that they don't look great.
Right. You know? Your body's like a car. You need to change the oil regularly. You need to wash it. You need to make sure you do those things that runs for a long time, right?
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. Or like me, I keep my car clean all the time. So there you go.
There it is.
So it's constant maintenance.
It's a true story, too. I've seen this. I've seen this car. I've seen the car he speaks of. It's very clean. It's pristine. You can eat off of it. It's a beautiful thing.
All right. Well, so Leah, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. We're going to have a fun show. And I want to bring in our guest now. Sitting here patiently. And we have Miss Carrie Newell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, it's been painful sitting here wanting to jump in with both of your great energy and fun conversation.
Thank you. Now you get to jump in all you want.
Right.
The show is going to be all about you now.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. Thank you for joining us. You sent me a message on Facebook asking to be on the show, and I said, sounds great. You know, I saw what you were doing and stuff. And so tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
I teach women how to communicate with men, how to get what they want, get what they need from the men in their lives. And most of the women I work with are coming to me for their romantic relationships, right?
Right. Mm.
And so I sort of teach this male language, how to speak the male language, which works with any man.
A series of grunts, if you will. very primitive.
Yeah.
So tell me, what's the one thing that you see that men, or women especially, have to work on?
Well, what I've noticed over the years, I'm in my 16th year of business.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's a testament.
Yeah, for sure, right?
It's exciting.
And what I've seen is, in our society today, women have an overdeveloped masculinity. And women don't really even know what their masculine or feminine is in their communication. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's nice to look nice because men are visual. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, your femininity is not about high heels, pink, lace, lipstick, you know, all of that stuff, right?
Agreed.
So when we, in our masculine, are communicating with a man, we sometimes get resistance. We get disappointing results, responses, mm-hmm. right? And not what we really want. We're a little more aggressive. We're a little more... take charge. We're in control, I guess,
right.
if you will.
Right.
But I think it can get out of bounds sometimes, you know, and get out of control. And I can tell you this, that I totally can relate to this. I've been in a relationship where I started feeling like she's more like a man than a woman.
Yes, definitely.
I'm that girl sometimes. I have to, like, I can listen right now. Yes. Well, you know, here's the thing. She's right. I mean, it's one of those things where we've been taught to be oversexed. Guys are looking consistently at other women there when they're with you. So you dress up, you get resentful because they're doing that. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Every other guy's looking at me right now and you're looking at every other
woman. Exactly. So where are we?
Right, but then you're right. It turns us snappy after a second. I mean, we become someone where it's like we're a mother, we're a worker, we're, you know, we make the house run smoothly. So sometimes it can be one of those things where you just kind of go to autopilot.
Yeah,
and it's not
that's
fair.
True.
Well, there's been surveys done, and one of the things that is most attractive about a woman to a man is her ability to be vulnerable and her spontaneous vulnerability.
Mm.
And sadly, we as women aren't very vulnerable these days. We're
so
very
true.
Self-sufficient.
So true.
Right? We have our own businesses. We raise kids on our own. And not that any of that is easy, but we've taken on a lot of masculinity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I ask a woman, do you know what your femininity is? How to communicate from your feminine? Nobody can answer me.
Wow.
And I think that's really sad.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. So, you know, because I think if that part is missing, then there's no like... there's no, like, sexual attraction either, you know.
Yeah.
There's no, like, any attraction at all, I think, even emotional, because you're feeling like, you know, this is not the woman I fell in love with. And that's
right.
The thing for men. It's like, and you do, men do look for the femininity, too, you know. I mean, to us, it's very important, you know. And I think, you know, that's why lesbians are not as feminine, because they're not so concerned with that side. But maybe they look for that in their partners, or I'm saying some of them do, mm-hmm. you know. But the bottom line is that men are attracted to that opposite thing of them. And when and you've seen somebody who's more similar to you than different from you, you're going, wait a minute, you know, that's not what I was expecting here. But, you know, my question to you, Carrie, is, so what do we do? I mean, do the men change or do the women change? What do we do here?
Great question. Yeah. Well, the women would like the men to change.
Yeah.
The men would like the women to change, right?
Yeah.
And what I've found when I started my business is that I started my business with my mother, Dr. Sherry Zander, and we worked together for many years. She and I discovered that when a man changes the way he communicates with a woman, it might be nice, but it does not change the dynamic of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So if a woman changes the way she communicates with a man, it changes the way he responds.
That's true.
True.
But the other way around too, right? I mean, I just like, because I remember learning about relationships and learning that it's enough that just one person changes the approach where the whole dynamics are going to change, you know? So you don't have to wait for the other person to change.
You're talking about that, the love challenge that happened for a while. They did a movie about it where you, for 40 days, you just do things totally differently and you kind of acquiesce to everything. And it, eventually the person will soften to relationship. I can't remember what it's called, but it's similar to that. Like it's kind of one of those love language approaches, you know what I mean? Where you read it and you interpret it and you internalize it and you change your practices dramatically, and then you turn into a unicorn of dating.
Well, the idea is when we're in our feminine, we're very magnetic.
Right.
To men, to women as well. And what's so interesting is, you know, we have so many masculine women that if you use this, if you're in your feminine communicating with a masculine woman, you can get different results as well.
Yes.
So it really is about an energy. It's not male, female, you know, gay, straight.
Right.
It really is about the energy of the other person you're communicating with.
Yeah. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense because sometimes, like, I meet or I see somebody that's like, you meet them, you see them, they're like really beautiful or something, right? And then they open their mouth or something or they say something and you're like, you know what? She's not attractive to me at all anymore.
It happens.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's real.
So it's not
real.
Just on the outside, man.
It's real for us, too.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, I understand. Like, I'm not saying that in a challenging way. I'm saying it more or less. I totally know what you're talking about on this end, too.
Right.
Because they'll say some, you'll give an opportunity to say some cute stuff, and they say something dumb, and you're like, really? That can't be your philosophy.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it can't be your philosophy. Yikes. It's just so upsetting. Yeah. It really is. So what's the one way to change your masculinity as a female? Because my thing is I'm someone who I'm more masculine, but I become vulnerable later in the relationship when a person I know I can be vulnerable with them. Mm. Vulnerability is something that's so hard to just open up and do in a world full of people who are willing to hurt you as well. So for me, it's like I do get vulnerable, but it's later when I feel comfortable with a person. So how do you change that?
You know, it's so interesting that you say this because for all of these years, I've been teaching this language, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea that if you change a word or when you say it or how you say it is going to get a different result.
Right.
And I also have realized working with all these women, thousands of women, that there's things that sometimes we need to heal in ourselves.
Right.
So we have more confidence. We feel better in our own skin.
Right.
And then we're not so concerned or have a challenge being vulnerable.
Right.
Right?
That makes sense. No, it makes a lot of sense.
So recently, last year, I went through some really dramatic changes and did a lot of healing and a lot of grieving. And what came out of that was wanting to do deeper work with women.
I
just recently did a course on understanding your triggers and creating boundaries. And that's something that I teach in kind of an advanced class, but I really went deep with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, we're all attracted to people that are confident. That's high on the list, right?
Absolutely.
And so what keeps us from being confident, what keeps us from wanting to be vulnerable is our own stuff, right?
Mm, true.
Right.
No, very true. So I would totally agree with that.
That goes a little bit deeper. But
yeah,
on a less deep level, on a lighter level, you know, on my website, I have like the 7 mistakes women make when communicating with men.
I like it.
And they're things that we do that we don't know we're doing. And I think it's so important. It's like, it's not our fault.
Sure.
But the first step is really to be aware, right?
Absolutely.
That's
in anything.
To know what you're doing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, in anything. I think that's when you're learning anything. You have to go in with an open mind and some awareness that you may have a problem. You may need to correct it.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well,
and when you start to notice it, I mean, women are like, oh my gosh, I do all 7 of those. Or, you know,
you're a wreck.
But you'd be surprised because there's things that you wouldn't even imagine.
Right.
They're not huge offenses. And they may not cause huge disagreements with the man you're communicating with or your husband or boyfriend. But what I find is that there's a slow degrade of a relationship. So you're doing these things, and men that aren't overly emotional or don't communicate as much as a woman does, right, will feel offended or feel put down or just a little less than. And then he, in return, does the things that we want and we love less and less.
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah. It's like an emotional relationship bank account. And when you make deposits, you have positive numbers. When you withdraw, eventually you'll go into negatives. And so it's like you have to keep that balance there on both sides to keep both people happy and profitable. Yeah. Or else you're going to end up, you know what I mean, with not like she'll do something wrong and you're like, rah! You know what I mean? And you just, it's disproportional anger.
Right.
And it's just because of other things that are small.
And so when we do these things that can be offensive, maybe, maybe that's too strong of a word, depends on what it is,
right,
then the men doing the things that we love less and less, maybe even wanting to spend less time with us, less romance, less wanting to sweep us off our feet, right, less intimacy. And then at some point we go, what happened? He used to do this and this,
right.
You know,
yeah
is, well, the communication's a big key for that.
Yeah,
it is.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think so. I mean, I would think communicating like early on that you have an issue with someone, with not like an issue with someone, but saying like, look, I feel like things are changing and I don't want them to go down this path, and pulling it back on course. Right. Is that the best way to handle
it? Well, what's so interesting is when a woman changes and learns about communicating from her feminine, then the man changes. He's drawn to her. He feels safe with her. When we're in our masculinity, we're in opposition, if you will, with him. And, you know, we created an acronym. We say, don't start in on him. And women always hate hearing this, but don't suggest, teach, advise, remind, or train.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Say, well, then what do I do? I don't even know what to say to him anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm behind significantly.
Exactly. If I don't have something to say to fix him, then I don't have anything to say.
Right.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Kiri Newell, and your website is what, Kiri?
Communicationmagicwithmen.com.
And there you go. That's a big promise there.
I like it.
And I'm sure there's. and Kiri delivers. Go ahead and go to the website. There's a lot of stuff there. And very interesting stuff, you know. Now, Kiri, how did you get into this? Have you been doing this a long time?
Well, I'm in my 16th year of business, and I started this business with my mother 16 years ago. She had gone back to school.
Just so you guys know.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Started when I was nine.
Exactly, middle school.
So you guys know.
Yeah, go on.
And, you know, my mother had gone back to school and ended up getting her doctorate degree in psychology, and she had done her dissertation on male inexpression of emotion.
Oh, nice.
It's a big complaint of women. He never tells me how he feels, you know. So that kind of sparked it. On top of the fact that I grew up with divorced grandparents, we had to have two Easters, two Christmases, two Thanksgiving separate. They couldn't be in the same room. My parents divorced when I was a teenager. I got married when I was 21. I got divorced 5 years later. And so the question was, why does it start off so good and end so badly? What happens?
Right.
The evolution of the person, I feel like. Because, I mean, I feel like for me, I did the same thing you did. I divorced. I got married and then I divorced. Mine was, I got married too young and then I grew up. And when I grew up, I grew into a different person. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
to be with you.
We're not the same person anymore, right?
We grow apart.
Yeah, I feel like that was my thing.
If you, I guess for me, yes. Would I be married to the same person today that I was married to then? Probably not.
Definitely.
However, you know, you hear about people growing up, you know, high school sweethearts getting married, staying married, having their kids, right? And that's not as rare as winning the lottery, but it's pretty rare these days with the divorce rate, right?
Right.
And the grass is always greener and people not taking the time to work on their stuff. I mean, we're so busy with social media and it just,
and
life is very fast.
Right.
It's very fast.
Right.
So I believe it's possible to stay in a relationship and grow together.
I like that.
That's true. So, I mean, and that's what I believe, and that's what I say, because I think I've experienced both, where you either grow together closer or you grow apart.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think, and Leah and I discussed this, where, you know, you become different people, you know. It's with friends also, you know. I look back at my childhood friends. I'm like, how could I be friends with these people?
Right.
But they were someone else at that time, right?
Yeah.
And I was somebody else at the time, too.
Understandable.
We all change.
I think we do. And yeah. I think as an adult, too, well, I say adult, as we get older, because we mature, like a fine wine.
As we celebrate anniversaries of our birth.
certain things become very important, like a non-negotiable in a relationship, and certain things become so unimportant. And I think it's important to look at why you're in a relationship.
Right.
I had a friend that just came out with a book, and it's something... I'm not going to say her name because I can't even remember the title exactly, but it's like how to be happy with or without a man, you know, and the 10,
by yourself or
you know,
with
the
one. Yeah.
50 tips of being happy without a man. Now she's single. She may not stay single, but it's a great book,
right.
You know, because it is really about us being happy.
True.
And, you know, and I mentioned working on your triggers. I mean, those are things that affect us every day, all the time. That cause us to react.
The whole world's a gun to me then. The whole world is a gun to me because in traffic here, I was like, I hear you on that one.
I mean, the triggers leave us out of control. I was at the dog park the other day and this guy is picking on this teenager about his dog digging a hole, right? Mm-hmm. And I got really triggered. It came from deep down and I jump in. And I mean, I just ripped this poor man. Now, the guy wasn't nice and he held his own, right?
That's really nice. I like it.
But what it was like, I felt like this kid was being bullied. And at some point, you know, when I was younger, I was bullied.
Mm. Right.
And so I run to his aid.
Right.
Now, it didn't end well. It's not how I teach women to communicate at all.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not in my feminine.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, it actually, like, drew a crowd.
You were also not trying to track this man, were you?
Yeah.
So I was not trying to attract him, so I jumped his throat because I didn't care.
Yeah. So you said, it triggered it. I mean, it's not like you even thought about it, right?
It was not in the moment.
Like, right.
It was such a reaction.
Right.
When we really want to try to come from an area of response, right? So if we're not being triggered, we can be more thoughtful and calm. And, you know, there was nothing calm. There was nothing thoughtful about it. And it was just a reaction. And he was the target of my reaction. And nobody left happy. There was no resolution. Yeah. And I truly believe that we are like a ripple effect, right?
True.
I try to smile all the time at strangers. Right. And every once in a while, if I'm in a bad mood and I smile at someone, they don't smile back. I'm like,
I do that too. That's so funny. Or like if I'm driving and I wave and I let someone and they don't wave, I'm like, you're an asshole, sir.
Right. Like, or I let you in, right? You didn't acknowledge.
Yes. Right? I'll drive in 4 or 5 with you, not anyone else. So how do you stop the triggers? How are you someone that sees a trigger and turns around and says, you know what? I'm not going to.
You know,
is that
I really believe that it's not a conscious choice to be triggered or not, because it happens.
It happens.
Right? And it's a feeling. And how we handle it is tough to control. But I think understanding our triggers, where they come from, and start to work on healing them. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, think of triggers like from our family. You know, when we go back to...
Don't they always give them to you? Like, they're the source of your triggers,
right,
aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
The genesis of triggers.
Exactly. I think that's the meaning of life. We come here, we choose the parents that are going to challenge us the most. Right?
Yes.
And then they screw us up in the rest of the life.
They
we have to fix it.
Yeah. Right. We're undoing triggers.
But go on. Finish your stuff. So, yeah.
That's exciting.
Sorry,
I understand.
So funny.
Yeah.
So the idea is if you can recognize it and recognize the pattern. So we have these triggers, and yet there's safety in what we know.
True.
Right?
Very true.
So often we create these patterns or situations that are familiar to us that aren't good.
Right.
So when you start to recognize your patterns, where they came from, you know, one of the things that I've been teaching, that's there's a number of ways to work on your triggers, but learning to create boundaries. And boundaries can be something that's spoken, or it can be something that you have an agreement for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember Thanksgiving. We'd go to my mom's, and my mom would ask for help in the kitchen. But like me, I don't really want anyone in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to do my thing.
I'm with you.
And that's it, right? And so why set up myself to be triggered or to So get out of the kitchen.
You're like, I ordered from Whole Foods. Everyone shut up.
So I say to my mom, you know, if we have a holiday celebration or dinner at her house, I'm happy to come early and help you. So we're not rushed at the end. Like I create a scenario that isn't the same situation.
Yeah. That's so good. Happens, yeah. So you actually take charge of what's going on.
You can, yes.
And you change the dynamics, I guess.
I like that a lot. What happens if you get there and then like all your sisters show up at the same time and they all start cooking too? And you're like, oh my God, I hate you. What do? How do you 10-step breath it, or what's your recommendation?
You can. You know, I think when you know you're going to go into a situation that you may be triggered, that awareness alone helps so much. And then, if you're starting to feel it grate on you, step away.
Yeah. Step away, go outside.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do. Yeah. Sure. I like that. Well, the reason I asked so many questions on this is because I feel like women specifically have a really difficult time with this. My friends I know will be somewhere and I'll watch them get upset and they'll argue with their husbands about the plate. And it has nothing to do with the plate.
No, it doesn't.
Nothing to do with the plate at all. It has to do with him, what he was just doing, the fact that she caught it. She can't say she caught it. And it's all kinds of, these triggers happen.
Yeah.
But they're very in, much in all of our relationships, even with your mother and stuff. It's just.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's where most of it comes from, you know. But you were talking about boundaries and everything, and I mentioned it also. I think that's an important thing, you know. And I think many people don't know where the boundaries are. And in relationships, like, you know, I think the classic example is when a woman tries to change a man, you know. I think that's reaching beyond the boundaries. I mean, this is like, excuse me, you know, you're going into my space now when you're trying to change me, you know. And many people don't realize you can't change anybody unless they really want to change. Even when want to change, it's so hard, true. Right?
Exactly. You know, there's a great book out there that I think all women should read, and a lot of men love reading it too, and it's called Wild at Heart. And it really explains about a man, his masculinity, why he does some things that don't make sense to us, and why it's important that we stop trying to domesticate men.
It's so true. We really do that. That's a very real thing.
What's so funny is once you've domesticated him, and you know, a lot of women are unhappy because really they've created another persona of themselves. I mean, we are attracted to people that we have likenesses with, right?
Right.
But you don't want your man to be like you.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Then he feels castrated, you know?
Yes, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's not what you want, you know? You gotta, you know, I think a woman wants to be treated with, like, respect and adoration and everything. And a man just wants to be, like, let me be a man, you know? Let me take care of the situation. Let me be in charge. Let me feel that I'm taking care of something here, you know.
I was like, do you ever puff up men? It's my favorite thing to do. Do you ever puff your man up and you tell him stuff that's like maybe kind of true, but you're like, oh yeah, that blue looks great on you. Like, you're killing it in that blue, and you walk away, you're like, ugh. You know what I mean? But it's true though. Like, it's those little things that make them so manly and happy, and they walk out, he's like, I'm killing it in this blue. I am killing it in the blue. Yeah. Y'all can't tell me nothing.
And you know, this just goes to show, I guess, that when they say that the most important thing is in a relationship is how the other person makes you feel about yourself.
Yes.
Right?
True.
And so if you make the man feel great about himself, he's going to love you for that.
Yes.
And I think vice versa too. You know, I mean, the same with women as well.
Absolutely.
It's so true.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. So for those of you just joining us and don't recognize any of the voices here. at least you know my voice, so it is the right show you're listening to. But Kelsey's out today, and I have Leah Pelka in the studio.
Hi.
And she is always fun. And, of course, our guest is Kelly Newell. And we're talking about relationships and everything. The website is communicationmagicwithmen.com.
She's a genius.
And, yes, you can see. So you've done this with your mom. How cool is that, huh? So you guys have been able to work together for 16 years.
Yes.
And we were just bad-mouthing parents, too, right?
I know. She's like, I'm going into the office like,
No, you know, my mom and I have such a close, honest relationship. So that's I don't so have nice. Any problems talking of it and sharing stories, and she does the same. And one of the things I love about the work we do is that we're constantly sharing things that we do. It's not about perfection, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not coming from a place of, I've got it down, I have it perfect. I know a little something about a little something, right? And it's helped a lot of women change to be happier, to have better relationships, more loving relationships, to feel cherished, adored, listened to, heard, understood.
Right. I think about like Naked and Afraid. I don't know why I just did. But she's like, really? Look, I'm giving you the tool bag, but you're going out in the jungle by yourself. Do you understand? Like, here are the resources and how to use them. Other than that, like, YOLO.
Right. You know, I used to work with single women and dating, and so I think of that as definitely
it's so
like,
true.
This is how you flirt. This is how you draw a man in. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Just try it. Just, you know.
Right, right. You know, that's funny because it's like, I think about that class. I think about some of the women I know, and it's like a lot of them just they it happens now, like in our age group, people will just walk up to you and just start talking to you, and you're like, I don't know that I gave you that vibe at
right
all. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I gave you that vibe. Yeah. What do you do in those situations?
Well, it's tough because most men won't try unless they have a high percentage of achieving or winning.
Right? Shut him down then, ladies.
So if a guy is approaching you, he's either extremely confident, maybe even a little arrogant. You know, it's right. Kind of like a yellow flag.
Yeah, like this reminds me of
a yellow flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me.
Yeah, we actually experienced something like that about a week ago. Yeah. Yeah. Right?
It was
someone
it
who was beyond arrogant. Yeah, but yeah, he wasn't leaving her alone for a minute. But that's okay. But,
and that's, you know, the meeting is kind of a precedence of what that person is like.
That's true, right? You know? And that's what I felt. I felt like almost I had to protect her because, you know, like as
there was
a friend.
Protection needed. I was like, I'm good. I'm
I know. You know,
see, she's that's like, the way men are. They want to be protective, and it's so
right.
Sweet.
And she can, sweet. And she's like, no, I can hold my own. And it's like, hey, let me help the damsel in distress.
Yes. Sort
of it's so not a damsel, though. Like, I'm hardly in distress. Because he's just
no, and she liked the attention too. You know, I mean,
well,
it's
no,
like
I
think,
you know,
people look at it differently. You
no,
know,
I felt like he was just again that same mindset, that same braggadocious young mindset, and he just kind of sat there, and you're like, that's cute,
right?
Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Though, right. Like for the relationship part, you just shake your head, and you're like, I can't, because it's just. How many times have you done that? How many times do you go up to people? You clearly come to me, have no idea who I am.
Right.
And you'll go up to anybody. So there's no sense of, like, feeling special about it.
Right. Right. I think that's where the term dog came from. You know what I mean? Because it's like dogs run up to people. Like, a stray dog will go up to anyone. Like, take me in. Take me in. Take me in.
Exactly. Some guys are like that. Yeah.
Take me in.
We're talking to Kelly Newell. Carrie Newell, I'm sorry. Carrie, so on your website, it says there's a heading says how it works. So tell us what exactly you offer, how you can help people, and you know what you can do for them.
Oh, thank you. Well, if you go to the website communicationmagicwithmen.com and you opt in with your name and your email address, you'll get a free audio, and you'll get the 7 mistakes women make when communicating with men. You'll also have an opportunity to sign up for a complimentary 30-minute session with me.
Really?
Nice. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Which is
that's
well worth it, because I can tell you, I mean, like, even in talking to you, there's a level of genuine, because we interview people all the time, there's a level of genuine care that you actually, this is your
thank
passion.
You. I
you
do.
Can tell. You really enjoy this.
But, you know, in 30 minutes, aren't you giving away the store? You know, I mean, it's like a 30...
Are you kidding? You guys are like a trilogy at least. Like 30 minutes.
So you just give someone a taste, a flavor of what.
You know, in that 30 minutes, I have them fill out a form of what their challenges are beforehand. And the idea being that I'm really there to listen to see if there's a fit.
Okay, so you do more of an assessment rather than sit and start advising them.
Correct. It's like a strategy session. Right. And. You know, I wish I could give, you know, extremely valuable advice in 30 minutes, but I really need to know what's going on. So I get to know the person, and kind of like a doctor does, I assess what's going on with them, and then I make a recommendation based on what they're doing. I have several programs. There's ways to work with me one-on-one. There's group programs. There's a home study course. There's all kinds of things.
Whoa.
So it just depends on what that woman needs.
Right. Absolutely. No, I understand. Yeah.
Sounds good. So
Sam is like, I got you 5 customers right now.
Yeah, there you go. I'll bring you half of the women in this town. They need this kind of help.
You're a charming stud. Don't let me tell you otherwise.
Yeah, I'm a charming stud. There you go. So she's trying to make me feel good about myself, and she's doing a great job.
I know. Flopping
him out. All smiles here. All smiles.
Yeah. No, it is. That's what you got to do. You know, you got to kill him with kindness, you know.
I agree, though, because, like, you were talking about men, and you were saying you like to feel that way. In my new relationship that I've been with in about a year and a half now, I still get up and make him lunch in the morning. Like, we have that very old school dynamic, but it works so well for us. And
well,
I love them.
Interesting. I love that you bring that up, because there's the book, The Five Love Languages, and the idea that we often give what our love language is.
Sure.
So if you grow up and, you know, you feel loved because of an act of service, which is what you're doing by making his lunch, right? Then that's what you give the other person. And if the other person's love language is hearing the verbal words, I love you, then you're making lunch, but he's not feeling loved. And it's, you know, kind of a broken cycle, right?
Right. It's so nice, though, because that's so true. Because there have been times, like, begrudgingly, I've made his sandwich. Do you know what I mean? Or, like, I'm sure he's just like, this bitch making my sandwich again. Like, I hate her. But,
you're
I mean,
I'm not going to spread the mayo all the way to the edge now.
Yeah. Right? Like, I'm accidentally going to stab the bread. No big deal. Yeah. I mean, so I agree with that. I would totally agree with that. We have this great relationship where he understands me fundamentally and I understand him. And it's a weird, like, I feel like we're like puzzle pieces that fit together. And the big picture of things, like, we harmoniously work together. But I did not find that in my first relationship because I felt like I didn't take the time to worry about my triggers or the things you were talking about. I just got with whoever I thought was good looking and had enough money and all the things that you make as mistakes.
Right.
And then, you know, this time I genuinely went to go for the person and it has changed. It's made all the difference for me.
And, you know, you said something. Yes, you also said something important, too, is that I find that a lot of times women don't get involved in the choosing. Because we get swept off our feet, or we are interested in what's being offered, or we get we have this strong chemistry all of a sudden, and that takes over, and we don't pay attention to the yellow or red flags that show up, right?
Or just the bombs going off.
The bombs going off. Yeah, World War III is going on, but you're so turned on that you don't really notice, right?
Your home looks like Benghazi. It's horrible. Yeah. Just crazy.
So the idea of participating, understanding what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and as we talked, you know, as we age like fine wine, what really is important, what is a non-negotiable,
right?
You know?
Right. Yeah. And what's the deal breaker and all that. Yeah. No, I know. And so the website is full. It's got a wealth of information for you guys. You can meet Carrie and I guess your mom too, right?
She's and on there.
That's so cute.
What's her name?
Dr. Sherry Zander.
Dr. Sherry Zander.
That's so cute.
So, Sherry and Carrie.
Sherry and Carrie. That's so cute. Yeah, I know.
I have
to
say something. My mom has been married twice. My father had an affair, which kind of sparked our business. You know, what happened? She didn't even know what to do, right? And then her second marriage, my stepfather passed away after 20 years of marriage of cancer. And she's now engaged.
Congrats, Mom.
She's going to be 78 in August.
You go, girl. Don't put your name out.
So it's never over, right?
That's never over.
Wow.
That's so nice.
Congratulations. Very nice.
She's engaged at 78. How amazing is her life?
Right?
How cute is she planning a wedding? She's adorable.
And he's the greatest guy.
Oh.
He's the greatest guy.
So through her studies, she has progressed and made better decisions. And it's helped her
sure.
as well. That's
For
nice.
Sure.
How about you? Do you think it's helped you as well, like in your tremendously?
Yes.
Jealous.
Absolutely. You know, I have male friends and that, you know, are drawn to me. My friends, boyfriends and husbands are drawn to me because I know how to communicate with them.
Right.
I know how to
make
them feel good, to feel needed, to feel like a man. In a non-sexual way, of course, but
sure,
right. But you make a man feel like
all the time.
You understand him. You know, and that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I think that's what people want is just to be heard. You know, and understood.
Very true.
So very cool.
Thank you,
Carrie Newell. You guys can. So how can people find you on the website? You are on social networks as well.
I am. Okay. I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook group called Communication Magic with Men.
Hello.
Okay.
Twitter, Magic with Men. LinkedIn, my name, Carrie Newell. Where else am I? Gosh, Pinterest. I have someone that does a lot of my social media, so I actually know the name.
How lucky are you? Yeah. I mean, I wish I had somebody doing this because it's so much work, you know. And I'm realizing I've got so many different accounts to keep track of. There's no way I can do this. There's just no way, you know.
You can do it, Sam.
So, no, but I mean, I don't live and die by the numbers anyway. Who cares about how many followers and stuff, you know? I know I have a successful business, and there's a lot of people listening and enjoying this, and that's all that matters to me.
And
who
you
cares?
Guys enjoy it.
Well, who cares? Yes. It's a few thousand more, a few thousand less, you know? It's not a big deal.
But I do like staying active. You know, I don't. It's not like you can hand it over to someone and they're just your voice.
Right.
I love interacting. I love seeing what's going on out there. And you had a friend of mine on, which is how I found you, because I saw the Facebook post.
Really?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And who was it?
Kim Seltzer.
Oh, yeah, Kim. Well, you weren't here that day. Yeah, but she's like a makeover and confidence expert.
Yes. Oh, that's you guys go hand in hand.
Yeah,
you guys are a pairing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you found out about us and stuff. We like Kim. She's a friend of the show. She's been here twice. She also helped me get on the dating game on the Love Debate. Where I screwed up big time.
Well,
afterwards,
did you tell her what you were doing the entire time? I'm calling you out on the air. I don't even care.
Yeah,
Sam.
No. Oh, that
tell
I wasn't paid. Yeah. They put me on the stage. It was like a dating game, so I couldn't see the contestants, right? And they were like, they picked three women for me, and then they would have to ask questions, or I would have to ask questions. And so I was sitting with my back to the audience, and so what I told Leah is, I said, I wasn't even paying attention to anything that was being said. I was just trying to figure out who's got the sexiest voice.
That's such a man move. I was like, no wonder you got screwed up, crazy boy.
I think the nicest one was picked, but no, I screwed up because I later in a text I wrote to her. I mean, I wrote text to her. She answered back. We went back and forth a couple times, and then I'm like writing to her. I said, "Look, it sounds so stupid now, but look what I wrote to her." I said, "I know that we were sort of like put in a situation, you know, we were like picked for this game and everything, and people picked
like
the
Noah's
winner
Ark.
For me."
Yeah.
Yeah, and people, so it's not like we had a say in it. So, you know, if you're not comfortable with it or anything, let me know. And never heard from her again.
Oh, no.
And people are saying, this shows you don't have any confidence, you know. It's like, what? And I'm asking now, why did I even have to say that, you know, because she's not obligated to write back to me, you know. So if she's writing, she's probably interested.
So you're saying, why did you preemptively write or say it before you didn't even have
exactly?
A
I didn't have any indication to
She's
think that she
ask.
Wasn't into it. Yeah,
right. The one to ask.
Yeah,
right. You might want to ask her.
Now, well, I don't know. It's way too late now.
way too late now.
Yeah. No, this is like a year or two ago.
This could be a pattern or a trigger, my friend.
That's true, but now I know.
It could be happening again. They could be setting them up to fall down again like dominoes. Who knows? We talked about this earlier.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. There are triggers for people, though. I mean, one woman that I met, when she asked me after a few days, how come you haven't called me, and this is, we hadn't even met yet, okay? But yeah, you know,
right? You're
but
like, Jesus,
no,
Mama
I mean,
Bae.
But look, I was flattered because I thought she wasn't interested anymore because I'd written her text after we talked on the phone for a few minutes, okay?
Right.
I told her, I said, it was great, you're sweet, blah blah blah. Never heard from her again, right?
Mm.
So 4 or 5 days go by, she's like, happy Easter, you know, why haven't you called me? And I'm like, well, you know, I waited for text back from you. You didn't text back. I was disappointed, but I decided to move on. She's like, oh, really? You decided to move on? Well, you know, I hate when guys just, like, move on. So there's a trigger, right?
Yeah.
And that was a deal breaker for her. I mean, she never showed any interest beyond that. So it's like, you have to be careful. But at the same time, you can't be responsible for other people's triggers. You don't know what's going to trigger them.
Absolutely. No, you can't. And the idea that, you know, if women know, men need a lot of green lights, you know, like they don't want to.
We do. You need that, like.
You get a lot of rejection these days.
Yeah.
You
need that eye contact.
There's a lot of trisomy flowing through the genetics of men. There's a lot of, like, you know, kind of genes where it just doesn't work out well. And y'all kind of, y'all need to know things more.
Yeah.
So they tell you at least 85 times before.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. And one thing that women really, I think it's hard for them to understand is how, It can be torture being a man sometimes because it's like you think about sex all the time, you know, and that's it. So
I like
it.
We feel so sorry for you.
That's what men. No, it is. It is terrible because you can't focus on anything.
There's a level of self-control that has to be displayed.
Well, the self-control is that we don't jump on you, you know, but that's a self-control.
Look, I say pray that someone would.
If we could, all the guys would just jump on women all
because
day.
Because that would release all of my trigger pressure in one setting. It would be incredible.
There you go. I
mean, look, it's hard. It's hard on us too because that's like saying like for females, it's hard on us because we think about homicide for men all the time. Like we don't. It's not like that. You have to learn how to pull it back in because beautiful women are everywhere.
No. But wait a minute to pull it back in. I mean, the thing is, it's something that your mind does to you.
It's natural for men to be that way.
You see, that's what I'm saying. It's hard for women to understand. It really is.
But Sam says it's like painful. Sam is like, it's painful.
It can be painful sometimes.
To be around beautiful women. I'm like, it can be painful.
Well, that's what I get. What hurts is you want it so bad and you can't. You want it so bad and
you can't. Another
class. Another class for a different time.
Listen, if you want to know, ask me. Okay, because I'm the one that said it, right?
It's true. I mean, for me, it's you know, I think that it's funny that men say that because, especially now.
No, it's like, look, if you want someone so bad and you can't have it, it hurts. You know, it's just like
seeing
anything.
The rejection hurts?
No, not the rejection. The fact that you know you can't have her.
I feel that way about Daniel Gillies every day. He's
okay,
an actor.
There you go. So now you know what I mean.
Have Daniel Gillies is a
so
tough
now
day.
I know. So now you know what you mean. So it hurts.
It's hard.
When it's at the extreme, it hurts.
Now that I think about it, you're right, Sam. You're right.
Anyway, Carrie Newell, tell people again where they can find you.
CommunicationMagicWithMen.com.
There you go. And you guys are going to get all the information you want and be able to contact Carrie and get some advice and save your relationship, right?
Yep. That's what your relationship or draw in a man. I work with primarily really high-powered, successful single women are challenged to find a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And women that have been in a relationship for a long period of time that want to kind of bring that magic back, that romance.
Right.
You guys should do it because it'll ripple effect through other relationships too, including your family. So these things are also applicable in everything. So it's like a life-changing thing as well.
Yeah. And single women have been in a long-term marriage and gone through a divorce and they're healed and they want to date and it's so different. Like, what do you do? Those seem to be the women that are drawn to me. Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
All right, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Everybody, check her out. Sounds promising. You're obviously not a matchmaker, but you help people match themselves.
Yes.
And I think that's the important thing, you know.
Becoming your best you.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't feed a man, but show him how to fish and you know, all that stuff.
That's right. Don't feed a man, show him how to fish. Show him how to get his own stuff.
Exactly.
Men love being fed. I'm not sure about
it's
that
so
one.
True.
There you go.
So true.
And Leah Pelka, thank you so much for joining
me
as always.
Thanks for having
me. You're always back. Welcome back anytime, of course.
Thanks. Whenever Kelsey's sick, I'll be here.
Yes, there you go. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.